Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. We're so blessed that you could join us. And we are continuing today our discussion with Dominic Brightman. Now, if you missed any of yesterday's episode, you need to go back and listen to it, episode 389, because that'll lay the groundwork for what we're going to talk about. But let me just give you a quick background on Dominic. He's an awesome guy. I'm telling you, the interview yesterday was just tremendous. He had me laughing almost the whole time. He's got great personality. He's got it all together. He's got a plan. He's executing the plan. And I mean, Dominic is an author, library assistant, a podcaster. He's a professional public speaker. Get this, he started public speaking back when he was in elementary school and winning awards for it, state-level awards for public speaking. Amen? And we're going to give you more of his background today, but let me lay this out there. That's where we're going to start off today's interview, is what he was doing in high school, something that just totally blew me away, because you don't expect to find that. You know, high school students typically don't do this. He volunteered at the public library, did such a great job after the summer. They offered him a part-time job while he was in high school, and he's transitioned that. He's continued to work with the library and helping them out. And folks, that's just an awesome story. I wish there was more people today, more young people that would take up that type of opportunity. And because of that, he has developed a love for books. He's an avid reader, and folks, instead of me telling you about it, let's let Dominic tell you about it. Amen. So we're just going to jump right back into this interview today with Dominic Brightman. You took a summer job working at a library. Now, that would not be a place I would expect to find young people looking for summer jobs. How did you come across that opportunity?
Yep, that was a blessing from God through my mother, because she was praying for the job and everything. And believe it or not, I was an extra shy introvert at the time. Still introvert, not so much the shy part anymore. And after just her making some calls and everything, I was invited to work at a library, and I was actually able to put out some decent work, enough to actually be invited to work back part-time when I could legally at the age of 16, because I was 15 at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was a really good thing that I decided to actually accept that part-time position, because it actually helped me to transform into the person you're hearing right now. Because it's like, yeah, it goes back to what you say. It's like when it goes to a teenager looking for a job, like the library is like one of the last places you think of. It was like, really? Funny enough, it's like, instead of flipping burgers, you get to flip some knowledge. So basically, just flip a book over and check it out to a customer. Amen. And not only that, and actually see how libraries are really more than just books. It goes beyond the books these days. Because in like the 21st century, I mean, it's not like the card catalog anymore. It's like folks in there using computers, looking for jobs, updating their resumes, and then you got these players for the kids, especially with STREAM, which is basically science, technology, engineering, reading, arts, and math. And it's like you're just trying to find ways to help kids explore the creative side, and also to get help with tutoring in some places with makerspaces, where you help them to do some 3D printing or just go beyond just the regular Legos. And it's just an amazing thing. And then you meet all these people, especially in a public library setting of many diverse backgrounds. It's like being around all of that, you just can't help to actually transform into something greater, because if you're going to be in customer service or leadership, you're going to have to always grow, expand, if you don't want to evaporate, because
exactly,
you're going to be around people all the time. And to be around people, you got to make sure you keep your well full of energy and learn from them and just get that experience. So it's that was one heck of an experience, just be able to get that summer job and just break out the turtle shell of shyness and then just keep going with it.
Yeah, you talk about always learning and keeping that well full. I liken it when I'm doing a leadership presentation about, you know, you have to always be learning, because the moment you stop, it's kind of like paddling upstream in a canoe. The moment you stop, you don't stay still. You actually start to regress, and all that effort you put forward starts to fade, you know. So you always have to stay constant and digging and reading. Now, because of that part-time employment that you experienced, I would venture to say that you probably have more customer service experience than most young people. How has that shaped what you do today?
That's shaped a lot, because it just transfers into life. And that's actually one of the chapter titles of the book called In Going North, and it's Life is Customer Service. And
that's actually my next question.
Yeah. And the reason why I believe life is customer service is because it ties in with servant leadership. I mean, Jesus, he came in the world to serve, not to be served, and to get the most out of life, just serve others to their greatness so that they can get the most out of life. Because in Magic Johnson's book, The 32 Ways of How to Be a Champion Business, he talks about how in his rookie year, he was done with one of his games, and one of his star player teammates was asked for an autograph and a picture by one of the children in the crowd, and the player just brushed him off. Well, Magic came over before the kid started crying and was smiling at the child, and he was telling him, like, hey, I'll take a picture with you, I'll sign whatever you want. And then he made the child happy that day.
Mm-hmm.
And 20 years down the road, after he retires from NBA and he's starting off as a business owner and trying to get a building that'll be a multi-million-dollar venture, he learns that the owner of this real estate was actually a hard-nosed negotiator who is a stickler for time. So Magic basically showed up early for that meeting, a good 30 minutes early. He met the man who was known for being stern, and when he met the guy, he sat him down in his office and he told him about that moment 20 years ago and how that child was his son, who later became a lawyer and a successful business person, and that he would happily sell him the real estate because he actually took the time to care for his son over 20 years ago and helped him to get that blessing and that confidence.
Yeah.
So he basically showed up 20 years early another career down the road, because he saw a need, he filled a need, and he saw that he needed to serve and help others. And that's just goes in life with, like, customer service. It's like, hey, you got to be careful of who you may talk to or who you may treat. And that,
That's right.
It's like, wow, man, that really did it for me.
Yeah, that is 100% true. That's a great story. Now let's shift gears a little bit. How did you become interested and associated with Toastmasters?
Yes, Toastmasters. So through all my, let me just back up a bit. So back in 2012, on my 21st birthday, I got to this car accident, and that was just one of the dominoes that fell, because my father, who was getting up there in age, and he was stricken with Alzheimer's, and he had his license taken away, and that was just taking its mental and emotional toll on myself. So that car accident led me to actually going into the leadership section of a library and picking up all these books. And one of the first ones I picked up was The 5 Levels of Leadership by John Maxwell. And then I later came down to the works of Brian Tracy, and it mentioned how about Toastmasters. And I was like, okay, this sounds interesting. And what really prompted me to go was because after the car accident and everything, and I wanted to change my life for the better to go north, I basically volunteered to run a public speaking seminar for my church a few months down the road back in 2014. So Toastmasters, hearing that, that gave me an opportunity to go to a place where I can learn more about public speaking and network with others and possibly find a speaker for the seminar for my church.
Okay.
And After joining Toastmasters and successfully running the seminar at the church, I realized, like, hey, I'm leaving some things on the table. So I went ahead and joined an additional club and just learned a bunch more and just continuously connected with others and just went to more conferences and volunteered for different leadership roles like district leadership with area director and division director, and actually just getting more leadership experience. Because one of the things I learned from reading, especially under John Maxwell, is that if you really want to test your leadership ability, lead a bunch of volunteers. And Toastmasters is the leadership laboratory for that, because no one's getting paid and everybody's there for the same goal. But at the same time, it's self-paced. Some folks may go faster than others. So you'll have to learn in certain roles like vice president of education, how to possibly motivate others and see how they can help others succeed and get the goals that they want to meet. So Toastmasters is a nonprofit organization that gives you the opportunity to practice leadership. I mean, you can probably make 20 explosions, metaphorically speaking, and still make it out alive and no one will kill you. So,
because they've made the same mistakes. Yeah.
Yep.
Amen. And you've been a part of Toastmasters how long now?
Well, it's been about 5 years now. It was October of 2013, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, you had an appearance in Toastmasters International Magazine. How did that come about?
That was the most random blessing from last year, because it was one meeting at the Randallstown Network Toastmasters meeting, and our PR guy was taking pictures of a specific meeting. And we have this portion called Table Topics where people get up and talk about a random topic they don't know. And when I was actually called up to speak, he took a couple pictures of me and everybody else, but the folks at Toastmasters International actually chose the picture of me speaking in front of everyone else. And lo and behold, like the June issue of Toastmasters, I was pictured along with the club as a diverse, successful group that's been around for 30 plus years. And I was just amazed, like, wow, they actually chose that picture out of every other one. Like, it's awesome. Like, all right, this is freaking awesome. Like, that was just so amazing. I guess it kind of goes to the whole, one of the rules of success in life is just showing up. It's like, if you just show up and then do the work and then just stay consistent, you'll actually get residual blessings out of nowhere. If you just keep showing.
That's right. You know, I used to tell people all the time, you know, in the military, you know, well, it's raining, and you know, hey, yeah, you think that the enemy is going to stop because it's raining outside? You know, and it's, you know, the war goes on. You know, you battle through it. And we used to say that, you know, we practice. You know, the adage was, you fight in real life how you practice, you know, in peacetime. And we say, man, we've been practicing how to be wet, cold, miserable, and hungry, and we're getting good at it, you know. And, nice. But, you know, I used to tell people all the time, say, at the, you know, it may be downpour outside, just, you know, terrible weather, but yet the baseball players show up at the stadium, go in, suit up, and they wait to see if there's going to be a break in the weather so they can go play the game. Now, if one team said, you know, it's raining outside, we'll just stay here at the hotel today. And then the rain breaks and the umpire walks out and says, play ball. Well, what's going to happen if they're not there? You know, so they still have to go suit up, even if it's raining outside, because you have to be in position for success. And if you're not in position, that means you're out of position. If you're out of position, there's no way you can be successful. None at all. You believe mentorship is an integral success part of life. Explain that.
Yes, and that's really true, because mentorship, I like to call a book on steroids, because with a book, you may get some actionable tips in there, and it's great. You read it, and you actually take some action from it. But with a mentor, especially a good one, can give you what a book can't, and that's actual feedback and actual advice, especially they can see you in real time. And one of the pieces of advice from one of my mentors. He was a Sunday school teacher named Mr. James, and one of the things he always liked to say was, in order to know peace, you have to know war. And that kind of goes back to what you said earlier. Mm-hmm. It's like, whatever you practice during peacetime, you better be ready for wartime, man.
That's right.
One of the greatest things ever, and that really stuck with me because it's very deep and very true, because that when he was telling me that, he was going through a tough time. His wife was going through cancer. His son got wrongly accused for a crime he didn't commit and was in jail. And all this other stuff just piling on him, got into a car accident himself. And he was just going through it, man. And it just really stuck with me, that lesson that just really goes with life. It's like, hey, it's not always going to be sugar and rainbows. There's going to be some spikes. There's going to be some vinegar, even though it's good for catching flies and cleaning your body. There's going to be some times where it's like, hey, it's going to be rough. It's going to be tough. And even more of mentorship, that also kind of goes in line with kind of way with coaching as well. With like a coach, especially a public speaking coach, and you send them a video of you speaking, they'll be able to pick out things that you yourself didn't see. And they may be a little bit better on you than you are on yourself, because everyone is their own worst critic, especially myself. I mean, Buck's been telling me I got this whole great radio voice for years and years, and I hated it, hearing it for like the first couple of those years when I was hearing myself talk, like, oh gosh, I sound freaking horrible. it's just like things like that.
I've been told that I have a face made for radio, so, you know.
Oh, gosh. No, you got the wisdom, man. You got the wisdom face, man. You got the beard of knowledge, full Bible swag, man.
There you go. Amen. Amen. Now, your bio says your goal is to help others become the best version of themselves possible. Tell us a couple of ways that you accomplish that.
One of the ways I accomplish that is through the phrase, action is the inspiration. And I say that because one of the things I learned after publishing my first book is that when folks see you do something, they want to get some of that action too and do it for themselves. One guy, fellow Toastmaster, Mark Hunter, he's out in the Northern Maryland area. He told me he published his first book, The Greatest Manifesto, after seeing me publish my book and actually promoting it. And he was like, man, this young guy's actually out there doing this and he's believing in his product and actually putting it out there. And it's like, man, I'm still young too. I got some knowledge to give to the world too. And he published his book the following year after seeing me do it. And
Amen.
A couple other veterans, and Chris Jordan, you know him very well.
Yep.
We met through Toastmasters, and he's a veteran too, and also has some experience in law enforcement.
That's
and
right.
he published his book, Inspired to Lead, after just having the conversation with me. And
Amen.
We did a couple speaking events together, and it's just really just amazing how it's like, if you do something good and you keep plugging away at it, that is inspiration for someone else.
Yeah.
Because there may be someone out there, especially nowadays when we're getting into the holiday season, folks are going to be downtrodden and whatnot. They may have lost a relative or something during this time, and it could be tough, and they may see you, and if you can give them an encouraging word that'll actually get them through their situation, they may turn that into something greater. So that's
even what seems insignificant to you can impact their lives. I go back to that story you told about Michael Johnson. You know, I mean, you know, it was just being nice to a kid, and it changed that kid's entire perspective of life. You know, I mean, yeah, amen. Let's talk about RAVE, RAVE, your method of helping others to step up their game. Explain what that means.
Yes, the RAVE method. That, man, you got to love the power of like caffeine, man, because when I was writing my book, I'm like, okay, what the heck happens here? Because I was in a Starbucks a couple months away from having to get this book out. And I was like, wait, what do I do? Okay, so I read books. I do that. Okay, all right. I listen to a lot of audio programs and podcasts. So for those listening to this radio show, you guys are awesome. And then the V for visualization. So it's like, okay, I like to visualize myself as a successful person. And then the E for encouragement, because it's always great to encourage others. Mm-hmm. So reading great material, that's the R. A is audio immersion. keeping your ears filled with good information. So podcasts, radio, audiobooks like that. The V stands for visual stimulation. So basically, not only visualization, so basically visualizing yourself as a successful person, but also keeping in mind what you put in front of your eyes. So making sure you watch more educational material as opposed to trash material.
Yeah.
And the E is for encouragement, not only encouraging yourself, but encouraging others, because we all need encouragement.
Amen. Now, since we're talking about audio, let's talk about your podcast. I mean, it's called Going North, obviously also referring to your book, which I'll get into in a minute. But your podcast is an informational, inspirational, and motivational podcast where authors share their life experiences to help others advance themselves. And I guess I have a couple questions about your podcast. First, what was your inspiration in starting the podcast?
Yeah, the inspiration came a few years ago after all these years of folks telling me I got this radio voice. I was like, okay, let me see if I can launch a podcast. The only problem was I didn't know what the heck I was going to do the podcast about. And funny enough, after publishing my book and promoting it, I was sitting down for coffee with a good friend of mine, Amy Bernier, and she was like, hey, because I was going to originally call the podcast the Mr. Music and Reads podcast, but she pointed out to me, is like, hey, you're doing this Going North thing, and it's been doing pretty well for the past few months. You kind of have a brand going here. So why don't you call it the Going North podcast? So I thought about it. I was like, hey, that makes actual sense. So let me just go ahead, call it the Going North podcast, and I'll just interview authors. They can talk about their books and all their other services they provide, because one thing I noticed is that when you publish a book, especially if it's a self-published one, you're basically on your own. So I just wanted to provide a platform, especially for those just starting out, to actually get comfortable with being interviewed by someone and actually give them the confidence to be able to go out and do more interviews and just build their highlight reel, because
amen,
it's really one heck of a thing. Because I mean, it's a way for not only me to get my voice out there, but to have other people have their voices be heard as well. So it's a simultaneous way of advancing others to advance yourself. And it's one heck of an amazing thing, because I've interviewed folks from Baltimore, interviewed a guy from Australia by the name of John Michael, who apparently he's Australia's number one image consultant.
Wow.
And yesterday at the time of this recording, did a recording for a wonderful lady by the name of Kirsty Salisbury out in New Zealand. So it's amazing what a podcast can do. You can just connect with people all over the world, and it's an unexpected way to actually use what God has allowed humans to do to the best of your ability.
Amen. Yeah, you got to love this technology. I mean, about the like our online radio station, Evangelism Radio, when I'm talking to pastors and about their ministries, about being on the radio, I do a quick history lesson. And I say, you know, 150 years ago, if you wanted to go minister in Africa or wherever, India, you know, you had to take 1 or 2 years, you know, to sail across the ocean, travel to wherever it was you're going. He didn't go over there and say, okay, we'll run a weekend revival and go home. I mean, you know, you're going to be there a while, because, you know, it costs a lot of money to get there, a lot of time, you know, so he'd stay 1, 2 years, then go home. And when you left, it may be 10 years before you get to go back again. You know, you didn't know what was going to happen to the people you're talking to and ministering to during that time frame. I say, you know, then fast forward to the steamship days, you know, and it's still a couple weeks trip, you know, so you go for maybe 6 months to a year, be gone. I said, then with the advent of, you know, airplanes, wow, you can get over there in just a couple days. So go ahead and stay 1 or 2 months if you want, and then come on home. But all that takes time. It takes money, you know. I said, now with the internet, I said, you can minister to, you can still go on your missions trips. There's nothing wrong with that. And you go over there and you're ministering to people. But instead of wondering how they're going to fare over the course of a year or two till you come back again, you can actually minister to them on a weekly basis, daily basis, whatever you want to do, through the internet, and stay up to date with what's going on in their neck of the woods and things like that. The technology today is just awesome. Now, your podcast has been rated, what was it, in the top 10 in the world in your niche? I mean, that's awesome. How did you accomplish that?
Man, I have no idea. I just want to interview some authors and just get my voice out there. It was for a few months. It was like started a launch on SoundCloud, then figured out what an RSS feed was, and then was able to get it on iTunes, and then just kept plugging away with using social media and then telling people about it when I network with others. And then out of nowhere around episode 30-something, I think it was like back in March, I get this email after telling everybody else what my email was from this media personality from Interview Connections to interview this black belt martial artist named Damian Lupo, who founded Yogido, which is a hybrid of yoga and Aikido. And then that email led to a bunch of others. And one guy, after I was done interviewing him from New Mexico, I was like, okay, how the heck did you find out about me, dude? I don't even know how you found me. And then he told me I was on this list of podcasters by Steve Ulsher, which is like a directory of top podcasts in the world. And under self-help, I was listed alongside Brenda Burchard and Lewis Howes and Gretchen Rubin as one of the top 10 self-help podcasts in the world. And I was like, what? I must log these guys? Like, I read their books and I'm fans of them. And like, someone actually saw fit to actually put me on a list with them.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. Oh, man, time seems to fly. We were enjoying this interview with Dominic Brightman, and now we're out of time for today. So I have to have you come back again tomorrow as we finish up this three-part interview with Dom Brightman. You understand what I'm talking about, why he keeps me laughing. It's such a tremendous interview. He's a great guy. You need to come back tomorrow for part three as we conclude our interview with Dominic Brightman. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.